How many of you guys have ever suffered persecution? Okay, two, three, four, five, six. How many have never suffered persecution? Okay, cool. What is persecution? It might be kind of hard to tell because what I say and what you perceive might be two different things. So let's really kind of define persecution. What is persecution? What are some examples of persecution? Cut your head off with an axe. Is that persecution? Yeah, okay, that would be one. Okay, aside from cutting your head off with an axe, Ty.
Day-to-day life when people know that you're a Christian, they make fun of the way that you are because you won't do the things that they do.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Making fun of the things that you do in your day-to-day life because, you know, they don't understand. Anybody else? Other forms of persecution. Jean, I think you were first. Trying to change your belief system. Forcing you to change your beliefs. John.
When the system cuts you off because you won't lie.
When the system cuts you off because you won't lie. I worked selling insurance for a brief 6 month, illustrious career before they fired me because I couldn't sell enough life insurance. And I remember my boss actually kicked me in the foot because I didn't lie on the application. I told, the guy said he had this condition. I put it on the app and the underwriters turned it down. I remember he kicked me in the foot and said, "What did you put that on there for?" I said, "Because it was the truth." Persecution. Ian, I think you had your hand up. Wow. Wow. How about that? How about that?
What is amazing also is that so many of the places like the Emirates Kuwait, the leaders give land for Christian people to build churches.
Wow. It's a rough world out there. Having your church plowed under by a bulldozer, that would definitely be, or by a tank, that would definitely be an example of persecution. Mike. Oh my goodness. Yes, sir. That hits pretty close to home. The fear, the rationalizing that we do, the excuses we make, and to disobey the Spirit. Amber. Persecuted by other Christians. Isn't that something? Wow. Anybody ever been persecuted by another Christian? Yeah. Tom. Intolerance. Which really is a very broad word and, ought to cut in both directions. But oftentimes it doesn't in our culture. You know, when they accuse you of being intolerant, they won't tolerate what they perceive as your intolerance. Anybody else? This is pretty broad. There's a lot of things. Now, I don't normally dress, you know me pretty well. I normally don't dress in jeans and a t-shirt when I come up and to minister and stuff. But I had this t-shirt that I really thought was appropriate. See, last week was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. So we're a couple days late. But I think it's still appropriate to recognize that, particularly when we look at our passage in Acts that we're going to be seeing today. And this shirt was a wonderful birthday present. On the back it has a cross, a big bold cross, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe." And the front says, "This shirt is illegal in 51 countries, restricted nations 40, hostile areas 11. Now, there are certain freedoms for registered or professing Christians to practice Christianity. But if you are a Muslim and you decide to practice Christianity, it could cost you your life. It could cost you your job, your family, your reputation in the community. It's a dangerous world out there. And And let us not forget, our country is not an island. It can be a dangerous place in our country as well. It will probably get more dangerous as time goes by, given the current cultural and political and social climate in our country. I anticipate that persecution is going to increase. Should be interesting. In fact, just recently, there have been some stories in the news within the last week or so of persecution going on in our country. In particular, these two events, militant gays persecuting believers. Two noteworthy events. The first was a gay rally in California against Proposition 8, which defined marriage as one man and one woman. A 69-year-old woman who believed in Proposition 8 went to the rally carrying a styrofoam cross. An associate of hers had a poster board that said, "Vote yes for Proposition 8. And you'll see what happens in this video clip from the news. They tore the cross out of her hand, stomped on the cross with their feet, pushed her out of the way, and began screaming all kinds of accusations at her. A couple seconds from this clip. It's actually a 3-minute clip, but we just see a cut from it. There she is. She's walking in. They knock the cross out. They shove her out of the way. Stomp on the cross. Now, frankly, I have issues with that last statement. What if you see the rest of the 3 minutes, she actually blows kisses towards them in forgiveness and saying that she loved them. It wasn't her intention to demean them. She has been a resident there for almost all her life, and she simply felt she had the civil right to express her opinion in public as well as them. The things they shouted at her. In fact, if you see the other parts of the clip, the camera crew actually felt that they were in danger for their own lives because they began to surround the camera crew and scream in their faces and block the camera and they would do all kinds of wild things. That's one clip. The other event, on Sunday, November 9th, we don't have a video clip of it. We have a little picture. Yeah. Mount Hope Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm going to read an excerpt from the article. On Sunday, November 9th, 2008, a band of about 30 homosexuals stormed a church in Lansing, Michigan. Some were well-dressed and were stationed inside Mount Hope Church, where they pretended to be normal Sunday worshipers. Others were outside dressed in pink and black. The group of self-described homosexual anarchists named Bash Back claims the evangelical church is guilty of transphobia and homophobia. During the service, the protesters outside the church were beating on buckets, shouting, and I can't repeat what they shouted. It's an accusation against Jesus that's frankly blasphemous, and I can't really say. Use your imagination. Shouting this on a megaphone and carrying an upside-down pink cross, they distributed flyers to passersby. When the signal was given, the protesters inside the church rose from their seats and began loudly to disrupt the service. The fire alarm was pulled inside the church. Protesters stormed to the pulpit, and a huge rainbow-colored flag was unfurled with the inscription, "It's okay to be gay, Bash Back." The church was vandalized, obscenities were shouted, worshipers were confronted. According to Wright, Michigan, the protesters in their demonstration also used condoms, glitter, confetti, and pink fabric. Now, this is interesting. A video camera wielded by the homosexuals attempted to capture violent reactions from the members of the congregation, of which There were none. Praise God. Right, Michigan also reports that approximately an hour after the demonstration, two of the demonstrators were found by security in a public restroom in the church together. There were no arrests. Yes.
So they feel so confident in their beliefs that they're willing to stand up with masks for what they believe in.
Yes. Now, it is. It is. It's very interesting. Now, let me just, you know, sort of balance this a little bit. These are extreme radicals in the gay community. This is not to say that all gays behave that way or we need to, you know, anticipate or you know, fear that they would do that. These are no more the status quo than Fred Phelps and his gang that goes and protests funerals represent mainstream Christianity. These are radical extremes. However, in society, what happens is those people who are the loudest and most extreme intimidate the others. And this is quite a bit larger group you'll find in society than Fred Phelps and his characters. They intimidate society and they use fear as a tactic. And even those who are not as radical do nothing to stop that and simply, you know, go away quietly and say, boy, I'm glad it's not me. And that's the way the enemy works. He works through fear and intimidation. What he can't shut down, he will try to close down using tactics of fear and intimidation. Now, as I said, last Sunday was the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and normally on that day we think of believers all around the world. Scripture says to remember those in chains as if imprisoned with them. So that on days like that, when we remember those believers in China or in some of these, you know, Muslim countries that are literally in prison doing time because of their Christian beliefs, we should have the same empathy towards them as if we were in prison and in chains ourselves. And I guess that carries with it the readiness to go to that extreme if necessary in order to stand for the name of Jesus Christ. So it's good to recognize days like this so that we remember that the body of Christ is not free everywhere in the world to do as we were doing today. And I appreciated Fred's prayer over the offering, and where, Fred, you thank the Lord that we have the freedom to do this today. We should cherish this today because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Persecution is everywhere. And, you know, and persecution takes many forms. It's not always as radical as this. And I've said this before. If you're a parent and your kid wants to go to this party and you say to them, you know, I would love to be able to say yes to you. I want to give you the world. But you know what? My gut tells me that's not a good idea. And I just can't in good conscience let you go to that party. I just don't get a good feeling about it. If your son or your daughter just, you know, cops an attitude and says, well, you know, you just are so restrictive. You just, you know, you're just such a party poop, I can't believe it. Guess what? That's persecution, you know? That's persecution. If you say, if your little kid, you know, if you tell your little kid, you know, no, I don't want you to, you know, eat that third candy bar because, you know, that's really not of the spirit. That's kind of the flesh. And besides that, you're going to puke your guts up and they get mad about it. Well, you know, that even could be considered persecution. It can be the slightest things. It can be very subtle. In fact, the most subtle persecution is often the most deadly because it makes the Church of Jesus Christ rationalize their fears, and we become impotent and powerless when we ought to be out there being bold for the Lord and taking the kingdom by force, as it were, not by military force, but by the power of God and by our boldness. Now, having said that, if you're not confused enough, on the other hand, all of that persecution is not necessarily a bad thing, is it? Sometimes persecution is the healthiest thing that can happen to a church. Because when there is no persecution, we tend to get lazy. And as we were saying, we persecute ourselves. We rationalize away the call of God on us to be the salt and light of the earth, to go out and proclaim the gospel with boldness. We get comfortable, we get lazy, we get complacent, and we get really satisfied in just laying around and being Christian couch potatoes. And we don't realize that we are the army of the Lord. We don't rise up to arms and take the gospel out to deliver people from the darkness and the bondage of the enemy until Persecution comes. And it's been said that what happens is that when the persecution comes against the church, it pushes the church together. That outside pressure compresses us. It actually causes unity. It gives us something common to rally around, and we begin to encourage one another. We begin to get stronger, and we begin to get bold and actually do what God has called us to do. You might remember in the book of Acts, you won't remember, we haven't got there yet, but in chapter 6 and 7 of the book of Acts, people were very comfortable just hanging around Jerusalem. They were, you know, the Christian church, and that's pretty much where it was. But Jesus said, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost ends of the earth.